ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Before beginning our recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, I would just like to say that this morning I was appreciating the steady service that has been rendered to their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaura Nithai. In many ways, in a very steady way, by Mother Nittai Priya. We don't often see her or hear her name mentioned. When we hear who dressed the deities every day, she doesn't dress every day, but she serves very faithfully as head pujari for many, many years, in a very quiet, steady way. So I'd like to appreciate her. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 28, Akura's arrival in Vrindavan. And the texts are 23 through 27. So you can put text 27 there, we'll chant text 27. So we'll chant text 27, then I'll read through the other translations. Word meanings deham, vrittam, of embodied beings, iyan, this much, artha, the goal of life, hitva, giving up, dambam, pride, biyam, fear, socham, and sorrow, sandeshat, beginning from his being ordered by Kamsa, ya, which, hare, of Lord Krishna, linga, the signs, darshana, the seeing, shravana, hearing about, adibi, and so on. Deham vrittam yan arto, hitva dambam biyam sucham, Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Darshana Shravanadibi,
Darshana Shravanadibi,
Deham Brittam Iyam Arto,
Deham Brittam Iyam Arto,
Hippa Dambam Biyam Socham,
Hippa Dambam Biyam Socham,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Darshana Shravanadivi,
Darshana Shravanadivi,
Deham Brittam Iyan Arto,
Deham Brittam Iyan Arto,
Hitva Dambam Biyam Sucham,
Hitva Dambam Biyam Sucham,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Darshana Shravanadivi,
Darshana Shravanadivi,
Deham Brittam Iyam Arto,
Deham Brittam Iyam Arto,
Hippadambam Iyam Sucham,
Hippadambam Iyam Sucham,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Sandeshadyo Hare Linga,
Darshana Shravanadivi,
Darshana
Ladies. Okay, do you want to go back to text 23? And then you can read through the Sanskrit, or I can read the English and read through the Sanskrit.
We all do together.
Okay. So text 23. And then Lord Krishna's elder brother, the foremost of the Yadus, will grasp my joined hands while I am still standing with my head bowed. And after embracing me, he will take me to his home. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome and inquire about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. Text 24. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, while the son of Swafalka, traveling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokula as the sun was beginning to set." Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami comments that although Akura did not even notice the road being deeply absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna, he still reached Gokula on his chariot. Text 25. In the cowherd pasture, Akura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as the lotus, barleycorn, and elephant goad, made the ground wonderfully beautiful. Text 26. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hairs standing on end became because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears, Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among the footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy, which Akura experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation, and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. Purport: Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that Akura gave up fear by openly showing his love and reverence for Krishna, even though he or his family might have been punished by the angry Kamsa. Akura gave up his pride in being an aristocratic member of society and worshipped the cowherd residents of the simple village of Vrindavan. And he gave up lamentation for his house, wife, and family, which were in danger from King Kamsa. Giving up all these things, he rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of God. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunavitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. The other day, I think it was Shyamakund Prabhu, he mentioned that how Prabhupada had pointed out that a Kura's journey to Vrindavan is how one should travel to Vrindavan, how one should go to Vrindavan, indicating this type of meditation that we find described in the last several verses. So today I wanted to talk about meditation a bit. It's becoming more and more popular these days. Now I can't claim to be an expert on meditation, especially meditation that takes place outside of Krishna consciousness, but I wanted to kind of compare that meditation to meditation that we do in Krishna consciousness. But I may be oversimplifying and overgeneralizing about meditation, so if I do, you can either correct me or just accept it. You're going to chastise me? Okay. Well, I might have it right, because my general impression of meditation as, say, an ordinary person in this world may approach it, is that it's kind of an activity where you try to empty your mind, think peaceful thoughts, to sort of a quietude where there's nothing specific. You meditate on a candle or something. Actually, I went to wikihow.com, and if you type in there how to meditate, it gives you a whole thing, how to meditate, with illustrations and everything. And it has this idea of, you know, quietude. Get away from the road where you might hear sounds of traffic, or meditate on the light of a candle or something, you know. The things like this, which are basically impersonal in nature. When compared to the meditation described here, I mean, one of the words used in one of the translations was agitated. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy and seeing the Lord's footprints. So here's a description of meditation that, when we put it up against the sort of quietude that's generally thought about meditation, and put this word agitated, I mean, that has a real negative connotation, doesn't it? Agitated. We don't want our senses to be agitated. We don't want somebody to be agitated. But it's describing here that Akura was agitated in his meditation. This is a big difference when we think about meditation in terms of Krishna consciousness, that this concept comes in that not only is our meditation very personal and full of emotional experiences, but an even can become agitated. You know, our minds can become agitated by meditation, just the opposite of what people are trying to do quite often when they meditate. So is this the same kind of agitation, or is it something different? Obviously, it's something different, and we want to explore a little bit how it's different here today. It's interesting, another thing here in Sridhar Swami's commentary on these verses, he says that Akura was meditating, and he didn't even notice the road that he was on. whereas that description at WikiHow specifically says you have to get away from roads, you know, because the sounds of the traffic will distract you. But he's on a road himself, and he's so absorbed in meditation, he doesn't even realize he's on a road. Sridhar Swami says that although Akura did not even notice the road, being deeply absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna, he still reached Gokula on his chariot. So that's a big difference in the type of meditation as well. A deeply absorbed, that's what we want to become in Krishna conscious meditation. We want to dive deep into the ocean of love of Krishna. We don't want to stay on the surface. On the surface, it may be calm. The waves may be calm. But we want to dive deep into the ocean beneath. And there, that's where the big aquatics swim. The whales and the sharks and everything. We want to be down there, not on the surface where it may be calm. That's the goal of our meditation. And so there are several examples of this that I want to share. Famous examples, but to show what deep absorption in meditation means. And first we turn to the Brahmin from South India, who burnt his finger in his meditation. Let's just consider how he was meditating. And I want to read to you the descriptions from the Nectar of Devotion. Sometimes he would take his bath in the river Godavari. After taking his bath, he would sit in a secluded place on the bank of the river, and by practicing the yoga exercises of pranayama, he would concentrate his mind. Okay, this is what he did in his body, in his physical body. He took his bath in the river Godavari, sat on the bank of the river, practiced pranayama, fixed his mind, and then he began meditating. So the first thing might be the same thing that you find that people do to meditate. They find a quiet place and they sit down and they try to control their mind. But then he gets into some other activities which reflect this deeply absorbed. When he had fixed his mind on the form of the Lord, he began to imagine in his meditations that he was dressing the Lord very nicely in costly clothing with ornaments, helmets, and other paraphernalia. He then offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord. After finishing the dressing, he began to imagine that he was cleaning the temple very nicely. After cleaning the temple, he imagined that he had many water jugs made of gold and silver, and he took all these jugs to the river and filled them with holy water. Now, he dressed the deities. How many people have dressed the deities? A lot of people have dressed deities. When you're dressing the deities, there's a lot of little details that you have to be aware of, especially if you want to have the beautiful presentation like we have here. That the necklaces are just right, that they match the color of the outfit, that the Lord's hair and flower arrangements, look at Srimati Radharani, nice flower arrangements, and the tikka, everything is nicely about. It takes some concentration to be able to do this. I mean, you just can't go up there and just, you know, do anything. You have to think about it. You have to think about it, and you have to get involved in it. Prabhupada says that one symptom that one is actually developing love for Krishna, he gives the example of deities, when one thinks, well, let me do it this way, in one's meditation, one's planning how to dress the deities, and one thinks, well, it would be nice if I did it like this. And so it takes some some personal absorption in this to be able to do it. It's not just something that is vague. That's the point. It's not something that's just vague. Well, it's going to be kind of like this, and like meditation is generally perceived in society. It's sort of vague. Well, it's kind of like this, and it's a little hazy. Maybe it's clear, but it's not distinct and classified like we find this description of the Brahman. But to speak of the gold water jugs he took to the river and filling them with water, being very careful to do that nice. So it continues here. Thus he collected all kinds of paraphernalia for worship, flowers, fruits, incense, and sandalwood pulp. He collected everything to place before the deity. All these waters, flowers, scented articles, then very nicely offered to the deities to their satisfaction. Then he offered arti, and with regular principles he finished all these activities in the correct worshiping method. In the correct worshiping method, he was careful to do it right. You know, I've had experience in with my own shilas of doing manasa puja. I don't think there's, at least for me, there's anything harder than that. Because, you know, you tend to like skip it over. Okay, you know, okay, offering them Argyamarta Park, you know, you don't take the time you would if you're personally doing it. You just kind of skip over it, you know. It's hard to meditate on the details. But that's what this Brahman was doing, and he cared about doing it right. He cared about doing it right. That's why he burnt his finger. Why did he burn his finger? Because he was cooking the sweet rice and he wanted to make sure it was right. He just didn't like skip over it in the procedure in his mind. Oh, no, okay, it's nice. No, he wanted to check it. Have I made it too hot? Is it too hot? Is it offerable? Therefore, he touched the sweet rice and burned his finger. And that's deeply absorbed. That kind of meditation is deeply absorbed. And it's very much in detail. And so, that's what Akura was doing. Akura was meditating in detail what's going to happen when he sees Krishna and Balaram. How Balaram would take his hands while they're still in a palm folded. He'd grasp my joined hands while I'm still standing with my head bowed. He was seeing all the details of his interaction with the Lord in his meditation. And actually, and the big difference between the sort of this impersonal, the meditation that goes on today and meditation in Krishna consciousness is that meditation in Krishna consciousness is absolute. So it's not different. The meditation and actually doing the activity that you're meditating on, that they're the same thing. It's not two different things. It's not meditating leading to something else. By meditating, you're accomplishing the same thing as if you were personally interacting with the Lord. And that's the strength of the meditation. And that's proved by the fact that here it's described that Akura was experiencing ecstatic symptoms just because of this meditation. Not because he did the activities, but just in his meditation he was experiencing ecstatic symptoms. And so how those ecstatic symptoms were experienced and how he was meditating is also special in Krishna consciousness, because it's an experience of rasa. It's sort of a rasika meditation, because the meditation is not different than interacting with Krishna. So the meditation that Akura is displaying here is specific to his internal relationship with Krishna as his servant. And therefore we find him meditating on things. While I'm still standing with my head bowed, and after embracing me, he will take me to his house. So he's meditating of himself in a very humble way as a servant of Krishna. So it's specific in that way too. Not only is it detailed, my hands are joined, my head is bowed, he embraces me. Not only are those details there, but the emotions that he's experiencing are also part of the meditation. And it's specific to his individual relationship with Krishna. So, although I can't say for sure, but my understanding is that Akura's relationship with Krishna is as his servant in Dasya Ras. Does anybody have any other information than that? Dasya Ras. So we look at the five elements that make up Bhakti Rasa. We can see in these elements, particularly as they relate to Dasya Rasa, how Akura is meditating in Dasya Rasa. For instance, the anubhava for Dasya Ras, the voluntary activities that one engages based on the loving emotion to Krishna, they're described as things like this: sitting at a lower level, following orders, managing Krishna's daily affairs, offering obeisances, humility, renunciation of displeasing behavior, etc. So we see in Akura's meditation, this humility and following orders is something that we find there. So he's actually experiencing Bhakti Rasa in the Dasya Rasa with Krishna in his meditation. He's actually experiencing that. And so it's true for all the different rasas, different devotees. If we look at how different devotees are in meditation upon Krishna, then we can see how they are manifesting these different symptoms of Bhakti Rasa. Take, for example, the gopis. We just read the chapter of the gopis, Rasa Dance with Krishna, and in that there is the famous Gopi Gita. So if we examine the verses of Gopi Gita, we can also see how the gopis in separation from Krishna were meditating on Krishna, and how their meditation is reflected in the five different elements of rasa. Let me read 1, 2, 3, 4 verses from the Gopi Gita. It says here, well, maybe first I should read the symptoms, the elements of rasa that the gopis, that we look for when we read these descriptions. They are okay. Objects, anubhava. When the gopis meet Krishna, the display of their exchanging glances, as well as their joking and laughing behavior, is called anubhava, or sub-ecstasy in conjugal love. So this idea of exchanging glances when they meet Krishna and interact with him is part of their experience of Bhakti Rasa. And so what do the gopis in their meditation and separation from him do? If you read this, if you listen carefully, you'll find the same things. They say, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicates one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most beneficent. Your smiles, your sweet, loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon. They touch our hearts, but at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. So again, they're agitation. They're not looking for a peaceful existence, but they're agitated by love, by meditating on his glances, his sweet smile, confidential talks. Dear master, dear lover, when you leave the coward village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. This is their meditation. It's sort of torturing them. When they think about his feet being so soft and he's walking barefoot in the forest and the stones and the grass will prick his feet, it completely disturbs their minds. But that's how they meditate on Krishna. And so they find, they experience their loving sentiments with Krishna in these ways. And so the gopis, in their meditation, their minds are agitated. Similarly, Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, their minds are also agitated by meditating upon Krishna. And I have an example of that as well. Okay, the cowherd boys. Sri Rupa Goswami mentions various expressions of fraternal devotion. This is Anubhava again. Krishna played with his intimate friends and sometimes by fighting or wrestling with their arms, sometimes by playing ball, sometimes by playing chess. Sometimes they carried one another on their shoulders, and sometimes they exhibited their expertise by whirling logs, by joking together, and by swimming in the pool. All these activities are called Anubhava. Whenever all the friends would assemble in the company of Krishna, they would immediately engage in all these functions, especially dancing together. So you can imagine Krishna's cowherd boyfriends meditating on Krishna, waiting for the next day, thinking, well, I'll defeat Krishna when we wrestle, and I'll do this with Krishna, and I'll do that with Krishna. And that's how they meditate upon Krishna. So the meditation is not different than the activity. That's the main thing that we should understand. And how, and the ecstasies we experience in this type of meditation are real. And I'll give you one last example of this. And it involves this last verse that we read, or one of the last verses we read here. When Akura is rolling in the dust at Krishna's lotus feet, here's the translation. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hairs stand on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears. Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling among the footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." Now, if you read the Sanskrit there, it says just that. Prabhur, my master, Amuni, these, Angri, from the feet, Rajamsi, dust, particles of dust, ho'a iti, with these words. That's what it says. But if you go to the Nectar Devotion, do you know what it says at the nectar in the Nectar Devotion? It doesn't say that. Prabhupada, in his presentation of this verse, and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes verses. So he quoted, he's probably, I didn't have time to go and find in Banu Maharaj's translation, if this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is quoted there, but that's his usual, the way he presents it, he quotes verses. So then, what Prabhupada wrote in Nectar Devotion is referring to this verse, but he says something different. Why does he say something different? You know what he says, what Prabhupada says? Prabhupada says, how wonderful is this? How wonderful this is. How wonderful this is. How wonderful this is. That's what he has Akura saying. How wonderful this is. How wonderful this is. Not that, this is the dust of my master's feet. Why is there a difference between these two things? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada is experiencing the ecstasy of, and that's why he's saying, how wonderful is this? How it's a feeling of emotion rather than just, it's an experience of Akura's experience. It's hearing Akura's experience and experiencing one's own ecstasy and individually expressing one's own ecstasy. That's what, that's the difference. That's the difference. And so by meditation, we can meditate very deeply, we can meditate very personally in our own individual relationship with Krishna, and we can experience ecstasy individually through such meditation, what to speak of actually meeting and interacting with Krishna. So that's the difference between this kind of vague quietude of meditation that people are attracted to in this material world and meditation on Krishna as a Vaishnava. So are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Just two things I thought of. When Prabhupada was explaining how to do translation work to Sarvabhavana, he said that there's two methods. There's literal, and the other one was called Bhava Artha. And he says the Bhava Artha he prefers. And you were just giving the example of that. He says you enter into the mood and what he was trying to convey, understanding the whole passage, and then put it in your own words, as opposed to doing each word one by one. And I thought of something that was kind of relevant to this is, Prabhupada had a purport on 2.4.24, and he says, the pure devotees of the Lord, however, equally relish the nectar in the form of profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing the Lord in the rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction. So, between the two. As when you asked that question in my mind, I thought of, because he's there, he's that empathic connection was there, so he was experiencing that Bhava art.
Yeah, well, speaking of no mundane difference between the two, Nagaraj gave a very interesting class, I think last week or before, about lotus feet. And while we think about the lotus feet and talk about the lotus feet so much. And so I had some realization that I'd like to add to that discussion. And it begins with a discussion I heard about how Krishna is absolute, and so there's no difference with different parts of his body. There's no difference than from his feet or his hands or his head or his chest, or they're all absolute. They can all perform the functions of each other. So then why do we focus on the feet? Well, my realization of why we focus on the feet is because The feet, focusing on the feet puts one in a humble position. It's an opportunity to express humility in relationship with the Lord, that we take the position of meditating on his feet, the lowly position of wanting to receive his feet. Although any part of his body could similarly be approached, but out of this kind of, as you said, bhavartha? Bhavartha. Yeah, the essential mood of our relationship with the Lord is humility and submission, and so therefore the feet become prominent. Yes, I'm going to.
Lotus feet actually is the outlet. It's not like, yes, all the form of the Lord are same, but we Gauriya Prabhupada says, we specialize Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath. If all the forms are same, then why we specialize particular Radha Madan Mohan for Sambandha, Radha Govinda for Abhideya, and Radha Gopinath for Prajna. So there is a difference amongst the form, even though all form are same, Satchidananda. Because Srila Gauravinda Maharaj also explained, the Radha Madan Mohan actually establish our constitutional relationship with the Lord. So Radha Madan Mohan, what Sanatana Goswami, how he manifested and he established, there is a very specific distinction, difference from Radha Govindaji. Radha Govindaji establishes the avidya. So he explained that, I mean, even Prabhupada's translation, one translation he says, Krishna is very beautiful, his face is more beautiful, his smile is still most beautiful. Well, all part of the Krishna's body is same, but still Prabhupada said more, most. So there is a much difference. And also he said lotus feet is the actually a place that where all the feelings and relationship also emanates, that even the peacock that is on top of his head is sometimes tilted to see why all the rishi, yogi, everybody is meditating on the feet. Am I missing something? So it's like Narad Muni was asking, why you are a little bit bent? He said, because everything coming out from through the feet, everybody is praying there. Even Rupa Goswami Padi said, Nikhilo Sruti Mauli Ratna Mala Dhuti Nirajita. Everything coming from your toenail, my Lord. Did not say from his thigh or his... So there is a distinction about the lotus feet that is only short. I was thinking also that there is a one verse in 11th canto, Lord Krishna told to Uddhava, he says, Katham bina roma harsan dravita cetasa bina, bina ananda asya kalaya suddhita bhakta vinashaya. That one, those who are sadhaka practicing in this process of Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna knew what requires, so he's giving a logic, cause and effect. He says, Katham bina roma harsan, when you hear about me, do you feel the hair stands on end? Do you feel some attraction? And if you don't feel attraction towards me, if you don't feel attachment, like Prabhupada gave this Maya Shakta Manaparta, very famous verse, that Katham bina roma harsan, then how do you know your heart is softening? And if your heart is not softening, then where is the chance that the tears of love will flow while you are serving me? And if the tears of flow is not produced or does not come, where is the guarantee that your consciousness is purified? So he's giving cause and effect to Uddhava. Therefore, it is required one to be absorbed. As interestingly, also Sridhar Swami, the old, he gave a... I thought it was very practical. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada translate when, chapter 10, when one somehow or other, or somewhere or other, establishes his continuous relationship in the mind, that relationship is meditation or remembrance. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada gave I thought it was very, it's like a Sanskrit sloka almost, even though it's in English. Prabhupada said, one's continuous relationship establishes in the mind somewhere or other, that is the remembrance or meditation. Because meditation in a dictionary says the function, absorption on the function of the mind. whatever, somebody is doing something, that is his meditation. But generally we think meditation like something isolated or something. But meditation means the absorption of the function of the mind. So Siddhartha Swami says that two way the devotee or the soul can come to pure goodness connection. One is by accepting the bhakti, following the guru's instruction, sadhu's mercy. If we can be nirgun platform above the three modes, then he will feel his heart is attracted by hearing, chanting. That time his heart softening. At that time he should feel he is establishing connection with Shuddha Satta. Without Shuddha Satta connection, not possible in spiritual progress to go on, because there has to be some impetus. The taste has to be there. But taste will come only that time. And then he gave the second one, which I thought was like a Prabhupada's blessing, that he says when someone comes to Krishna consciousness and he somehow or other become fortunate by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he comes in contact with a devotee who comes from the spiritual world, Ragatmika or Krishna Parshad, because there was a... because in Vrindavan they were reading and...
Yes, a lot of detail, maybe.
Yeah, but then they asked Prabhupada, he heard it says, text 8, that one should follow the Brajabhashis. And Prabhupada said, I am here. So he did reveal sometime that he was it, that well, Krishna Brajabhashi. Mm. So there Siddhartha Swami says, if somebody follows that, even in mature states, like a green mango and a ripened mango, even if he follows strictly, then he should feel that person, that he is already connected to Shuddha Satta. Mm. Then very soon he will be attracted to ecstasy feeling that Akrura is feeling.
Very nice, thank you. Anyone else? We have these two individuals already. Anyone else? Okay.
This parallel, the way that Rupa Goswami explained it in the Nectar of Instruction, just a little bit further down that same verse there, it says, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasa, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can obtain to this stage of acceptance called Varna Das. When one obtains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he obtains the stage of Smarnam Vata, the stage of remembering. And so we were just talking about the constant from the Nectar of Instruction somehow or other. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five progressive Krishna Smarnam, five items of progressive Krishna Smarnam. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated, and it is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted, unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of
samadhi
or spiritual trance. After smarnandas or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called Sampatti Das, the perfection of life.
Haribol. Oh, Guru Shri Prabhupada.